the next number of weeks are going to be hell, I fear. So we're begging with people to please, please, please don't let your guard down.
The first coronavirus vaccines are administered in the United States. It's Tuesday, December 15th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, COVID home tests are coming. Depression rises among Asian Americans. Afghan women hit the airwaves. Starship Town. And a museum for digital art. It's all on today's VOA Asia. In the United States, nearly 3 million doses of the nation's first COVID-19 vaccine are being delivered this week to states to administer to high-risk healthcare workers as the nation's death toll from the disease continues to rise. Michelle Quinn reports.
It's a moment of hope in a dark time. Trucks begin rolling across the U.S. this week, delivering the first COVID-19 vaccine, 2.9 million doses to states. The first recipients of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, high-risk healthcare workers, and people who live and work in long-term care facilities. The excitement at the beginning of the vaccination effort comes as U.S. cases of COVID-19 surge and deaths from COVID-19 approach a grim milestone. Nearly 300,000 people have died from the disease, according to the Johns Hopkins University. One state that is struggling is New Jersey, which is seeing a surge of COVID-19 cases. Phil Murphy is the Democratic governor of New Jersey.
For all the good news, the light at the end of the tunnel, and the vaccine exemplifies that as much as anything, the next number of weeks are going to be hell, I fear. So we're begging with people to please, please, please don't let your guard down.
As the vaccinations begin, the Food and Drug Administration will consider emergency authorization of a COVID-19 vaccine from Moderna. Public health officials are worried some people will balk at being vaccinated. Dr. Stephen Perotti is Associate Executive Director with the Permanente Medical Group at Kaiser Permanente.
So there are a lot of people out there that are hesitant to receive the vaccine for any number of reasons. So I believe we've got to communicate the safety, the efficacy of these vaccines, the importance of what this means for us individually and for our global community.
The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has warned of vaccine nationalism, which could leave poorer countries struggling to get the vaccine. As countries feel pressure to shift resources for vaccines, there are other risks, says Shizoba Wanodi, Nigeria Country Director for the Johns Hopkins International Vaccine Access Center.
And so where is that money going to come from? That money is definitely going to displace healthcare spending for other things. And if you think about the burden of disease in, let's say, developing countries, there a lot of people actually asking questions about weighing the benefits, right, of shifting funding to the vaccine versus other healthcare programs.
Other COVID-19 vaccines are on the horizon. Still, health officials stress that vigilance against the infection has never been more important. Dr. Stephen Perotti of Kaiser Permanente.
The vaccine gives us great hope for 2021, but this current surge of increased disease gives us great pause. We still have to adhere to those three W's. Wash your hands, wear your mask, and watch your distance.
Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
As the story evolves, more details come out. We have them for you at VOA Asia on Twitter and Facebook. And we invite you to stop by our voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Thailand's democratic reform drive goes local with provincial elections. Philippines targets deal for 25 million doses of Sinovac COVID-19 vaccine. Thousands gather in Pakistan seeking end to Imran Khan's government. Security video shows Aboriginal boys in Australia threatened and mistreated in custody. Sikh tradition of community kitchens sustains India's farmers' protest. There's expanded coverage of all these stories, and you'll find so much more at Facebook at VOA Asia and our website, that's voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Getting a COVID test can mean long lines and delayed results. Matt Dibble looks into recent breakthroughs that may have more of us performing a COVID test at home.
Though COVID-19 vaccines are on the way, health experts are cautioning that the need for frequent COVID-19 testing will be with us for a long time. Adequately testing the U.S. population has been a persistent challenge. Now there is hope for a new approach, self-testing at home.
Rapid, sensitive, specific home testing, even one that you might not even need a prescription for, so that people can have within their own power to know.
Recent technological advances suggest that widespread home testing is within reach. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has authorized the first at-home COVID-19 test that generates results in less than an hour. Dr. John Chu led clinical studies of the test.
It is essentially a lab test at home.
On par, or at least close to par, as what we consider the gold standard PCR testing.
There are enzymes in these solutions so that when the sample is placed, it amplifies the amount of genetic material that's there. The detector can detect it, and then within 30 minutes, a result will come out. How much nicer would it be for it to be able to be done at home and keep people isolated?
Chu says the tests will also provide an advantage when used in clinics.
When we can get results that are lab quality very quickly, we can help make decisions very quickly.
The company plans widespread distribution of the test in the U.S. this spring. Another breakthrough in testing comes from artificial intelligence. Researchers at the University of Oklahoma found that the cough of a person infected with COVID-19 has a unique sound signature that can be detected using AI, even in people with no discernible symptoms.
Then we built on that initial finding to try to create an app.
The app first had to learn to isolate a cough sound from all the background noise.
About 50,000 different type of coughs were used to train it, and then almost same number of non-cough sounds were used.
Then the app was fine-tuned using the coughs of COVID-19 patients. Similar research at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology shows AI can detect a COVID-19 cough with nearly 100% accuracy. Industry groups around the world have joined the race to bring cough-detecting apps to the public.
The beauty of this is that it is low-cost and it is repeatable, and it can be done every day, and it can be done several times a day.
In 2021, testing for COVID-19 may become just another part of our daily routines. Matt Dibble for VOA News, San Francisco.
Happening now in Asia, Indonesian police have arrested a suspect who is believed to be behind the 2002 Bali bombings that killed more than 200 people. Police report that the suspect is a senior member of an Al-Qaeda-linked militant group. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thanks for tuning in. Depression has risen dramatically around the world since the coronavirus began infecting and killing millions of people. Staying at home, risking exposure when out, loss of income, and in the most serious situations, being separated from family members who are being treated with COVID have all taken a toll on people's mental health. While the initial outbreaks were in China, Asian Americans did not initially feel a link until the virus quickly spread and some in the community felt social scorn for no fault of their own. Veronica Balderas-Iglesias tells us more on growing cases of depression among Asian Americans.
Nearly a year after the first cases of COVID-19 were confirmed by the government in Wuhan, China, Asians in the U.S. tried to go about their daily lives. As a group, they had the lowest frequency of depression symptoms before the pandemic. But that has changed dramatically.
Yeah, I feel horrible, you know. This is like the biggest disaster, you know, probably like ever since I lived. So just seen on the news, you know, a lot of people dying, but, you know, there's some people like around me has died and, you know, diagnosed with like COVID-19, and this is like awful, you know.
No racial or ethnic group has been spared from a rise in depression during the pandemic. But in April, researchers at the Boston University School of Public Health found a five-fold increase of depressive symptoms among Asians, compared to just a threefold rise overall.
Exposure to stressors, having a household family member lose a job, losing a job, having difficulty paying rent, these were associated with depression, and persons who identified as non-Hispanic Asian were more likely to experience those stressors.
There are many, many hypotheses.
The World Health Organization hopes to travel soon to Wuhan to investigate the widespread belief that the virus originated there. But many Americans already blame China for the virus, and some have targeted Chinese and Asian Americans with racial scorn, adding to the collective stress.
At school, I felt it. At my school, we had like a bunch of international kids from China come right around February, March, beginning of this year, and I felt like they were being very attacked.
Language matters. Previous research shows that discrimination, particularly based on racial or ethnic identity, is harmful to health and mental health.
Although the spike in depressive symptoms is highest among Asians, Hispanics have the highest proportion of people with depressive symptoms, 34%. Younger people and low-income Americans reported similar levels in the researcher survey. When it comes to Asian Americans, what's needed is solidarity, not finger-pointing, says Allison Holman, a nursing and psychology professor.
Help people cope so that they can actually engage in the kinds of behaviors and processes that are needed to get rid of the to what we call flatten the curve of the pandemic and protect people's health, the public health.
As the holiday season approaches, Holman anticipates additional mental stress.
People are going to be holed up in their homes. It's going to be critical for us to be contacting people, calling each other, calling friends and family to help mitigate some of the symptoms of depression or isolation and loneliness that they may experience.
Vietnamese Thung Ong agrees on the importance of having strong family ties to boost morale.
Talk to your family, even though you don't see them, FaceTime, Skype. You know, that helps. Keep in touch with everybody. And, you know, I mean, this shall be over soon.
Veronica Valderas Iglesias for VOA News, Falls Church, Virginia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news from VOA Asia, Tokyo Governor Yuriko Koike said vaccines could bring hope for holding a safe and secure Olympics and Paralympics next year. Koike reports that residents have been cooperative in curbing coronavirus infections. You'll find this and many other big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, a radio station run by women for women in Kandahar, Afghanistan, has been awarded the 2020 Reporters Without Borders Prize for Impact. VOA's Sizzla Popel reports from Kandahar, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
A Journalism and the fight for women's rights are two of the big reasons the staff of Radio Mirman goes on the air. Since female journalists founded the Kandahar station in 2011, the team has received threats and warnings from the Taliban and other militant groups. But still, they persist.
The southern provinces are a difficult place to work for journalists. It takes a lot of commitment and courage on the part of female journalists to work there.
Afghan journalist Rangina Anwari, who reports in the same region as Mirman's reporter, says working in a tribal area like Kandahar comes at a high price.
I have worked with Mirman for years. I know what women are going through. Lack of security, threats, safety concerns, and more. I am working here to raise awareness and increase the capacity of women working outside.
By reporting on key issues, the radio station gets authorities to listen by giving women's voices plenty of airtime.
When we get connected to the radio program, we ask questions and they provide the answers from authorities. These answers have helped us and brought a change to our lives. I've seen my friends do the same. They called the radio to talk about their cases and stories, and journalists shared the issues with authorities and asked for solutions, which is a huge change.
For the journalists at the station, the 2020 Reporters Without Borders Prize for Impact is recognition of their hard work.
But Mirman Radio got the best news. An award from Reporters Without Borders is the best news the women received. Journalists at Mirman Radio are happy that their hard work has paid off.
The leaders of Mirman Radio says they face a long journey as they continue to enable women to play an active and effective role in the society. They say the Impact Award from Reporters Without Borders has strengthened their commitment to achieving that goal. For Azizullah Popal in Kandahar, Afghanistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
Now on VOA Asia, an area called Boca Chica in South Texas near the United States-Mexico border has become what SpaceX founder Elon Musk calls a gateway to Mars. It is the site of the development of a rocket designed to travel to Mars and beyond. VOA's Elizabeth Lee tells us how SpaceX is transforming a retirement community into a futuristic spaceport.
At the southern tip of Texas called Boca Chica, along Texas Highway 4, you'll see the historical site of the last battle of the American Civil War. And a few more minutes down the road, there is another history-making view, a spaceport that is the beginning of what could be interplanetary travel.
4, 3, 2, 1.
SpaceX has been building and testing prototypes for its next-generation rocket called Starship, to one day fly humans to the moon and Mars.
People are going to want to come down and they're going to want to see this crazy pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
That's David Santolina, an airline pilot who has not been flying because of the pandemic. When SpaceX picked South Texas as the site of a spaceport for Starship, Santolina saw an opportunity.
You know what? You only live once, so I bought it, and then, you know, it was a tremendous amount of work, but it's really coming along.
He purchased land near SpaceX's future spaceport and started building to make it a destination for space lovers to watch launches with campsites and trailers for rent.
If it lands, it's going to be amazing. If it crashes, it's going to be amazing. Either way, I'm going to be there and watch it.
Local residents have seen successes and failures, such as this high-altitude flight test that met a spectacular end. SpaceX founder Elon Musk congratulated his team on social media, saying, quote, "We've got all the data we needed." Musk described South Texas as the gateway to Mars. He says he is highly confident humans can land on the red planet in 6 years. Since SpaceX broke ground in 2014 in South Texas, it's been building and conducting tests for a working Starship, a rapidly reusable rocket that aims to make interplanetary space travel like air travel. The site has brought jobs to this area, but progress comes at a price. Some residents who live in the village near the spaceport say they've had to sell their homes to SpaceX at prices they wished were higher. In their place, SpaceX employees have moved in.
We had a home that SpaceX needed, and that home was right in the middle of the compound for the production shipyard. We had no way to get away from the construction.
Maria Poynter negotiated with SpaceX and moved out in March, and SpaceX employees quickly moved in.
I had to make lemonade out of lemons. I was not going to just take this lion down and say, oh, woe is me, they're going to take everything I have. No, I'm going to reinvent the Poynters so that we have fun.
The experience has been bittersweet for her. From her new home, she's enjoyed watching the development of the rocket prototypes and writing about it, but she wishes SpaceX could have picked a different location so her life wouldn't be uprooted and the wildlife in the area stays preserved. Poynter will continue to write about SpaceX on social media for her followers, just as Santolina will share future launches with anyone who decides to stop by Rocket Ranch. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
For many of us, 2020 cannot finish soon enough. And as a way to wrap up 2020, Washington's Artek House, the first U.S. Museum of Digital and Experimental Art, transformed its space into a unique exhibition designed to help people combat COVID-19 anxiety. Maxim Moskalkov gives us a brief tour.
So here you can actually see your silhouette in the installation. You literally become a part of the art, but you're also controlling this wave of crystals that grows wherever you go.
Artek House in Washington creates interactive exhibits using digital technologies in art. Its latest exhibition is called Crystalline. This art space was created in partnership with a New Jersey-based color company called Pantone that annually presents a color of the year. The color chosen to represent 2020, a tough year that has included the coronavirus pandemic, is classic blue, reminiscent of the sky at dusk.
This has been a difficult year for all of us around the world for many reasons, and this color was chosen for its dependable qualities, its calming qualities, its inspiring qualities, the ability for this color to help us center ourselves and move forward with confidence.
Artek House also has installations in Miami and New York City. Each of the three features a color that represents either air, water, or earth. This one in Washington is dedicated to earth.
For the DC location, Crystalline explores the dependable qualities of blue and its connection to earth and crystals. Smaller galleries where there's different installations and visitors can be surrounded by this color through audiovisual experiences. They can interact with installations of various scales.
The center of the exposition is a large-scale installation that represents a world of change. Thanks to large projections and motion sensors, anyone can create their own visual effects here.
To be honest, this is my second time here. Last time I was here, it was a summertime, so it was more like floral kind of themed artwork here. But today, it's so relaxing. It's like the crystals, the blue theme and everything. It's very relaxing.
I like the paintings on the wall, how each one is interactive and changes differently. And the room with all the geodes was really pretty.
Another multimedia device used here is the technology of augmented reality, as some of the objects can only be seen with a special smartphone app. The exhibit organizers hope this coming yet inspiring installation helps visitors battle the pandemic-related anxiety and forget, if for a little bit, about the grim COVID-19 reality. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
That's our program for today. We thank you so much for joining us on VOA Asia. Continue online. We're on Twitter at VOA Asia, Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram at VOA Asia, and, well, you can guess what our YouTube channel is called. We'd like to thank those who help bringing our program to you each and every day. Our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.